Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, November 2nd, 2018, and we are reading from the Big Book on page 152. We're on the paragraph, the third paragraph down, which begins, "How is that to come about?" And we're going to read through two paragraphs ending on page 153 at the top, "Love thy neighbor as thyself." Today's readers are Penny L.C. on the 12 Steps, Marissa E. on the 12 Traditions, and reading the texts are Stephanie L., Libby E., and Julie E.V. Our share IDs for yesterday, Thursday, November 1st at 10 a.m. Eastern Time is 12,130. And for this morning's meeting, 7 a.m. Eastern Time on November 2nd, the share ID is 12,134. And our newcomer greeter today is Melanie C. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovering through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Penny L.C. to read the 12 steps of OA. Penny, press star 1 to unmute.
Thank you very much. Yes, thank you very much, Kathy K. Good morning to you and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thank you very much, Penny L.C. And Marissa E., would you please read the 12 traditions?
Good morning, Kathy. Good morning, fellows. This is Marissa E., a recovered compulsive overeater calling from near Los Angeles. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for allowing me to do service.
Thank you, Marissa E. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinent requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone should be muted except the speakers. Today, we resume our study on page 152 in the Big Book, the third paragraph down, and I will ask Stephanie L. to begin reading.
Good morning, everyone. It's Stephanie L., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. How is it, or how is that to come about, you ask? Where am I to find these people? You're going to meet these new friends in your own community. Near you, alcoholics are dying helplessly, like people in a sinking ship. If you live in a large place, there are hundreds, highs and lows, rich and poor. These are future fellows of Alcoholics Anonymous. Among them, you will make lifelong friends. You will be bound to them with new and wonderful ties, for you will escape disaster together, and you will commence shoulder to shoulder your common journey. Then you will know what it means to give of yourself that others may survive and rediscover life. You will learn the full meaning of love thy neighbor as thyself. And I remember when I first read these paragraphs, and I thought, you know, this, I'm going to have these people that I'm going to walk shoulder to shoulder with on this journey. I mean, this is a bunch of crap. And because in my disease, I am an isolator. I don't want to see anyone. I don't want to talk to anyone. I want to shut the blinds. I don't answer the phone. I just want my food and the TV. And I always had an issue connecting with people and never had a lot of friends. That, you know, that was just the, you know, kind of my thing. I used to always say, oh, I don't like people. When really, I just didn't know how to do it. I didn't know how to interact with others. And, you know, as I have worked this program and worked these steps, you know, I have built this fellowship of women around me that we walk together on a daily basis. And, you know, I know that that is not me. That is my higher power. And that is, you know, the power of these steps. And, you know, when something goes wrong or I'm resentful or I need to do a spot check 10 step or, you know, just whatever is going on, I can pick up the phone and I can call someone who will listen to me, who will, you know, if I just want to be listened to, they'll listen. Or, you know, if I ask for feedback, they'll give feedback. But I walk hand in hand with other people on this journey. And, you know, the love thy neighbor as thyself, you know, yeah, I really didn't have the tolerance for to be around people and, you know, to give of myself. And today, you know, I give of myself freely. I hold my hand out to the next compulsive overeater because I know in doing that, you know, I get to stay abstinent one more day. You know, I get to connect with my higher power one more day, one more minute. And the funny thing is, the more that I give to you and the more that I try to love you, the more I'm able to love and accept myself. And it's this really interesting paradox, you know, of this program. And, you know, it really is quite amazing, and I'm very grateful for that. And with that, I'm going to pass.
Thanks very much, Stephanie L. Okay, I would like to know who would like to share on these two paragraphs.
Janice K.
Okay,
Donna
B. Wait a
second. Dana K.
If you just give me a minute, Janice P.M., John K., I think I heard Donna P, Donna,
B.
Who was
Dana K?
B. Elaine B.
Elaine B. I missed a few in there. Let me tell you who I have. Janice P. M., John K., Donna T., Elaine B. And who did I miss?
Dana K.
Dana K. I think there was another. Okay, we'll start with these, and I'll catch others the next time around. So we have Janice P.M., John K., Donna T., Elaine B., and Dana K. Please go ahead, Janice.
Well, good morning to you, my friend Kathy K. This is Janice P.M. and everyone. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. Boy, I'm so grateful today that I know it may sound that I am living today to experience this fellowship. Some people I know are just coming in and they, you know, they didn't come here for fellowship and friends forever. You know, because this is not where we came for friends. We came to lose weight and whatever. But I can honestly say, honestly, because it's my experience, when it says the most satisfactory years of your existence lie ahead, the previous paragraph, and it says here the question is, and they give us the answer. Well, how is this going to come about? What do you mean the most satisfactory years lie ahead? I'm not interested. I'm interested in now losing this weight. Well, let me tell you, since 1982, when I joined the fellowship in 1982, I still have friends, face-to-face friends when I went to my first meeting. And I can still say that, you know, I have a number of friends that I call friends that really, you know, send out love and are selfless. In this fellowship, when the meeting started, 2012, 2010, I still know these people, and they are friends. I can call them my friend. And this whole thing is telling us, you know, a vision for me, a vision for you. This is what your future is going to hold if you follow the directions as I did. And, you know, I am so grateful to have these people in my life because, like Bill, I had fair weather friends, you know, gambling friends, food friends, you know, shopping friends, and they were fair weather. But, you know, the domestic situations and the bitterness has changed for me. you know, my husband died. I've been with him. I was with him for 54 years. Now I have a very serious medical condition, and I still have these people that are praying for me. How good is that? There's nobody in my family. There's no other people that are praying for me except the people in this fellowship, and it really works. And it's because of the 12 steps. You know, we're together. We have a common problem. We have a common solution, and it's a promise here. There's a hope here. Believe, I know we don't think of it now, you know, because with my mind went one way. Let me lose weight. Let me get successful. But, you know, we all get older, and we discover a new life. A new life. Why? Because I follow these directions one day at a time. And when it says, love thy neighbor as thyself, that means I became more selfless. And what a gift to receive back. How these people in this program, on this meeting, in the 7 a.m. meeting, have given back to me. What a gift. What a gift. Because I never loved my neighbor as myself. I was too self-centered. How could I love anybody else? And so this is the full meaning of what it means to love thy neighbor as thyself. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Janice P.M. John K., please share with us.
Good morning. This is John Kiernan, recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. Thanks for your service. Thanks, Stephanie, for your service. She led a wonderful workshop with Charles H. up here in Los Angeles last weekend. We'll have the recording up online soon. Anyway, to the reading. You know, I've been in OA and other fellowships pretty much my whole adult life, you know. And, you know, the program stepped in and helped me get the good nurturing things I didn't get as a kid. You know, I was raised by two parents who didn't have particularly good parenting skills, and they didn't, which is true, they didn't even have a good adulting skills. And, you know, as a result, I sort of had two sets of parents, my natural parents and then all of you guys from my various 12-step programs, which I joined in my mid-20s. You know, I learned I didn't have to keep operating the way I did, which I learned from my parents and then mimic, you know. I also was able to come to some kind of a belief in a higher power of my own understanding. You know, it wasn't that hand-me-down God my family foisted upon every generation, but one that helped me with my problem, gave me a connection, you know. But, yeah, as was said, the main thing I got was a family. You know, people who understood these bizarre things I did with food and the bizarre way I ate. And, you know, that's a wonderful thing to come into a group and know you found your tribe. But let me just say, I thought this camaraderie, this fellowship alone was all I needed to recover. You know, to me, meetings were all about fellowship, the friendship, the phone calls, going out after meetings, and the meetings themselves. You know, and meetings weren't a place to learn anything, but they were a place to come and talk about myself, you know. And what I came to understand later when I'm working my six and seven steps is that one of my main character defects was narcissism, you know, or self-centeredness, as they call it in the big book. As a result, I couldn't stay abstinent, and it took years to realize I had to leave that program of pure fellowship and self-involvement and join the one I should have been in, which centered on the steps in the big book. And you know, that made all the difference after that. Why? Because until I did that, I was still the same person who walked into the program that first day. And, you know, as they say, if nothing changes, then nothing changes. But through work of the steps, over and over, by the way, I did change. You know, I'm no longer the person who walked through the door the first day. And to be honest, was in for a long time and hating himself. And it wasn't until I worked those steps that I understood the difference, you know. The program helped me learn to love myself. And, you know, people who love themselves don't want to harm themselves by doing things that they know are harming them with addictive substances. And so today, and I'll wrap up, I do things the program way. You know, I truly do live in that spirit of love thy neighbor as thyself. And the main thing is that not only did I get this attitude from program, but I actually got the ability to love myself so that I could love others. And I couldn't do that for years. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, John K. Donna T., please share with us.
Thank you. This is Donna B., as in boy. From
Colorado.
No problem. I, too, have made very special and meaningful relationships through the process of working the 12 steps. But I do want to take a moment to acknowledge something else that also happens in the rooms, in the phone calls and meetings, on message boards, that we are all sick people, sick in the way that the Big Book describes. And sometimes feelings get hurt. I've gotten a lot of phone calls over the years about, you know, someone's sponsor breaking up with them and they didn't understand why and they were going to leave the program. I've gotten phone calls from people who have been on message boards that have been reprimanded for not following the guidelines and they want to leave the program. Just all kinds of, you know, we bump into each other, we step on each other's toes. We're talking about all of our deepest and most painful wounds. And because we all of us have this disease of being selfish, self-centered, dishonest, self-seeking, we're bound to pour some salt on other people's wounds as we walk through this process. And in acknowledging that, what I really want to say, the message I really want to carry, is please don't leave. Please have the courage to find your people, to find your tribe. Because these words are in the Big Book does not mean that every single person we walk into or every single person we interact with is going to become a BFF. What it does mean is that there are people out there, and sometimes we have to be diligent in finding those people. I can say for myself that every single morning when I go through my sick man's prayer, I include my parents, who are very obvious people to include in that prayer, but I always have at least one fellow that I've bumped into in OA that I need to pray for as well. So please don't leave. Please don't give up. Practice patience, tolerance, and kindness with all of us, knowing that we are all sick. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Donna B. Elaine B., please share with us.
Thanks so much for your service, Kathy, and everyone on the line. Boy, you know, there was a long time where my only release from care, boredom, and worry was food, 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 and more food. And I remember, you know, with 100 extra pounds on my body, being just so burdened and so lonely and just so desperate and crying out, asking God to teach me how to love, because I had no idea. I had no idea. Just above this paragraph, it said, I know I must get along without liquor, food, but how can I? Have you a sufficient substitute? Yes. This fellowship. And, you know, this is where I learned how to love. I remember just after getting engaged, walking into a hospital in the town I was living with at the time. And, you know, I heard somebody qualify and I'm like, that person has what I want. And I asked if they would sponsor me, and they gave me their phone number, and they gave me a phone number to a phone meeting. And that person is still a very deep part of my life today. They're here on the line today, and I'm so grateful for the journey that I've spent with them and the ways that they've taught me how to love and work this program and keep the food down and work the steps. And there's somebody I can go to when I need to, and I share a lot of what's happening in my life with. And they do the same. And what a privilege, that trust, that honesty, that vulnerability, the transparency that is safe to have with people in these rooms, and the understanding that we have when we get a call, you know, for a 10-step, that somebody's in crisis, they're blocked from God, and we can, because we understand this process, we can help get them through. And not only that, we can see the people who are still suffering like we were, and we can invite them in on this journey. Whether we're the ones that bring them through all of the steps or whether we're just one of the people that help them along the way, we can offer the hand of love and friendship that we've learned. You know, it's not like I'm ahead and you got to climb up where I'm at. We're shoulder to shoulder right on this common journey. I love that. You know, just another bozo on the bus. And what a privilege it is to trudge this road of happy destiny with you guys. There's a place at the beginning of working with others that says frequent contact with each other and with newcomers is the bright spot of our lives. Used to be Ben and Jerry for me, but certainly this now is the bright spot of my life. I've had some changes, and I can't keep up with all the relationships that I've developed here as much as I'd like to. But I'm so grateful for each one of you. And with that, I pass.
We don't hear you, Kathy.
Are you there, Kathy?
Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I was muted. Thank you, Elaine B. I wanted you to know. Thank you so much for your share. And Dana K., are you there? Please share with us.
I'm here. Thank you so much, Kathy, for your service and everyone on the line today. This is Dana K., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Missouri. I wanted to share today that when I came back into Overeaters Anonymous a little over 2 years ago, I just wanted the pain to stop. I couldn't live without food, and I couldn't live with food. It just seemed like every waking moment of my life was just consumed with, you know, when could I eat it? How would I get it? How would I hide it? Where, when, how, why? And the obsession was just overwhelming. I was also so lonely. I was scared. And I was just bone tired of the fight. And here in these paragraphs we read this morning, it says, you're going to meet these new friends in your own community. And I wasn't thinking about friendships when I came back in after relapse. I was just thinking about, oh my goodness, I want to lose this weight. I want to lose this pain. I want to stop, you know, reaching for the food every moment. I was just immersed in self. And that's where I was at. And then as I worked the steps and developed a community around me, you know, through courage and reaching out and making those new phone calls and, you know, following the direction of my sponsor and building that network, I came to believe and develop, you know, these friendships, these lifelong friends that have made such a difference and make a difference every single day in my life. And I think that the story I wanted to share this morning is that when we had the last convention in Newark, New Jersey, and oh my goodness, I'm all
Dana, we lost you. Can you press star one?
Hello, Kathy, can you
see me? Oh, now I can hear you again. I'll give you a few more. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. I am so sorry. I don't know what I pushed something. I'm just not sure what. But anyway, just the courage to step out in faith, to follow my higher power, and to get myself to the last convention. The first woman that I met there as we were waiting for the shuttle to take us to the hotel actually happens to live very close to me here in Missouri. And she drove in 3 hours the other day to take me to the hospital. I mean, what a selfless act. And that these friendships, these friends are lifelong friends. They see me as I am in my vulnerability. I can be open and transparent and honest because we have gone through this sinking ship kind of experience together, and that loving my neighbor as myself for me each day looks like, God, what appointments do you have for my schedule today where I may get out of myself and help someone else, whether it's sponsoring, praying for someone else, taking a 10th step, doing texting for the texting groups, whatever that looks like, because in my phase, it says that he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Thank you all for refreshing me today. And I just am so excited to be on this journey with you. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Dana Kay. Okay, I'm open for new names to share. Who would like to share?
Lisa J.R.
Lisa J.R.
Kelly S.
Kelly S.
Catherine C.
Catherine C.
Paula N.
Paula M.
Patty
D.
I think I heard Craig, is that right?
Greg B, thank you.
Greg B, sorry, Greg B. And then there was a woman there, too, with Greg.
Patty D.
Patty D, okay.
Julie E.B.
Okay, I'll add you, Julie, too. And let's see how we do. Here's who I have. I have Lisa J.R., Kelly S., Catherine C., Paula N., Greg B., Patty D., and Julie E.B. Please go ahead, Lisa J.R.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you, moderator, for your service. I'm Lisa J.R., gratefully recovered by God's grace in Baltimore, Maryland. And sorry, I'm passing some National Guard Hummers, so it was a little loud there. Love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, that has come to mean so much to me because I've learned from everybody in these rooms how to do that. You know, years ago, I used to use the excuse for being ugly or harsh. You know, I was called the truth slayer by my family. Like, I would wound with the truth. And, you know, I use that excuse. I give myself a free pass, you know. If I don't stand up for myself, I'm going to be a mark. I'm going to be taken advantage of. People are going to think I'm an easy target, et cetera, you know. Hurting people hurt people, so I guess I get a pass. Well, you know, that really was a bunch of bunk at the end of the day, because the truth is I wouldn't want to be hurt. I wouldn't want to be embarrassed with sarcasm. I wouldn't want to be put down in a cowardly sort of manner with sarcasm. And yet that was who I was when I was agitated or angry or felt like I had to get back at somebody. But now, having gone through the steps, and I'm sad to say during that time, I was still walking in my faith. I had a deep faith. I just didn't know how precious I was to my higher power. And you lovely people came beside me and held the lantern over the text as you do every day. And you taught me what that word means. You know, I hear people say that people in program are like God with skin on. Well, oftentimes that's true. You know, God speaks through the people in this program to me every day. And, you know, you've poured the healing balm into my wounds and allowed me to actually love in the way that my higher power, in alignment with what my higher power would have me be and have me do. And so I'm so grateful. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Lisa J.R., I'm sorry. Kelly S., please go ahead.
Hey, everybody, it's Kelly S., recovered in Oklahoma. Thank you, Kathy, for your service. I just really wanted to share on this paragraph because this is such a gift that has happened for me. You know, I've been around these rooms for 30-something years and just 3.5 years of recovered abstinence from working these steps out of this big book. And like John shared, I've been around and, you know, in in Tulsa, Oklahoma, we had OA huge for a long time years ago. Huge. I mean, we had like these meetings that had hundreds of people, like seriously, every week. And we had dances and we had hay rides and we had things afterwards. And yes, it was awesome. I finally found out I was not alone. And that fellowship, you know, was great. But guess what? The fellowship did not get me recovered. And the other thing I didn't have is I never had a true network. I never really got to know these people. You know, I mean, I knew a lot of people, but I didn't really know them. And so when I started working this program 3.5 years ago, working these steps, and even though I think when they wrote this book, when Bill and them wrote this book, what this paragraph is talking about is we are finding friends in our own community who are working these steps, you know, and that, yeah, we all were going down on the Titanic together, but we all grabbed the same lifeboat and we're in it. And that's what made a difference. You know, my first sponsor said to me, I want you to make a network of people. She required that of me. I used to call people every once in a while and just check in. Hey, glad you're here. You know, grateful to be doing it with you. Yeah, thanks a lot, whatever. I finally have a network of people. So in 30-something years, I for real have people that know me and love me that I can call when I am blocked from God while I'm working this stuff. And it's scary and it's sad because I do see people dying helplessly. I've seen so many people come and go. We have a revolving door, I say, in OA, and I was one of those. I also see people that never, ever came back. I'm always wondering about them, you know. But I didn't get numbers, so I can't even call them, right? And so I'm on this common journey now with people that I just love and adore. And it says, you know, we may survive and rediscover life. Well, rediscover, I feel like I'm discovering life for the first time. You know, I was never really absent. I never really, you know, I put the food down, lose my weight, and that was it. But I didn't have this recovery this big book talked about. I never understood the entire psychic change, living in a spiritual solution. And you know what? I also want to say this. Life sometimes sucks, you guys. It ebbs and flows. In 3.5 years, I never understood that. But as long as I keep working these steps, some days are wonderful. Some days are easy. Some days suck. Some days are beautiful. Some days are just okay. And I never understood that. But I have this, you guys, to find out. You're having the same thing. You know, one person one day is like, oh, I'm so connected with God. And the next day is like, I lost that connection. I feel lost. We'll keep working the steps. And I'm talking to people and I'm finding out. And we're all doing this together. But I didn't know that. So as long as I keep on this common journey, keep connected with you guys, keep connected with my higher power, I am surviving and discovering lives that I never even understood. And with that, I pass. Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you, Kelly S. Catherine C., please share with us.
Hi, this is Catherine C. from Virginia. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And I just wanted to share on this topic because when I came into OA, I didn't understand the true meaning of love. I didn't understand that true love is promoting discipline. And I hate using the word tough love, but I really learned that in this program. I'm a chronic relapser, and it wasn't until someone told me in these rooms that, Catherine, it's time to grow up. Catherine, it's time to take responsibility. Catherine, you're going to have to sit through that uncomfortability. Catherine, you're going to have to do the right next thing, no matter how you feel. That I really, truly understood the word of love. I get to call people today, and they get to tell me how it is. They tell me and differentiate my twisted thinking. And I don't always like to hear it. But it's the true meaning of love, that someone cares so much about me, they don't care if I maybe won't like them afterwards. They know that if I fall into my twisted thinking, I will go back into the disease. They care so deeply about me and true love that they're willing to tell me how it is and reveal to me my thinking and not coddling me constantly. And that was the turning point for me. And I'm just so grateful that someone had the courage to do that and truly show love and that I can do it as well. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine C. Paula N., please share with us.
Hi, I'm Paula N. from Tennessee. I've really... I'm just kind of starting, I've went to OA before, and I'm just kind of coming back, and I'm in such a different place and highly confused. But through other 12-step programs, this statement, love thy neighbor as thyself, it's like I feel like my whole life it was always the emphasis on love thy neighbor. And it's just like as thyself has just become so clear to me. It's like it is so important to like myself. And so my emphasis is that because I know if I love myself, then I'm going to love others well. And only through loving myself will that happen. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Paula. And Greg B., please share with us.
Thank you, Kathy. This is Greg. Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Good. Excellent. Thank you. And thank you for that last share. Stole my line. I didn't know how to love myself. I'm Greg B., a recovered alcoholic compulsive eater in California, and grateful to be here, grateful to be part of this group, part of the fellowship, and I'm hanging on with for dear life in this fellowship and not going to leave. Even if people don't like me, I'm coming back anyway, so too bad. I'm here. My seat is mine, and I'm keeping it. Because you know, the thing is, when I came in the program, I always tried to have other people love me, but because I wanted something out of it, you know, the page 63, the actor that wants to control the show because I want to feel good about myself, because I didn't feel good about myself. You know, the problem was alcohol, the problem was food, the problem was sex, all these groups that I belong to, you know, debt. These are unqualified for everything. And why is that? Why do we go to so many different 12-step groups or me? Why do I go to so many 12-step groups? Because it ain't the food. It's the behavior. It's the ism. And the ism is there all the time. So, you know, the food's down, the alcohol's down. But the behavior, you know, I still have problems with relationships and jobs and other things if I don't practice these principles. And then when I have problems in my life, like I do every day, lo and behold, those same steps can be applied over and over, rinse and repeat, to wonderfully work through whatever issue it is in my life. So whatever I'm facing today, I got things to do. I have an agenda just like anybody else. And the steps will easily transport themselves into solving those problems. You know, what's the first action I need to take? What's the next thing? And how can I be of service? How can I help you? A lot of my conversations today in the sales world, in the job hunting world, whatever it is, how can I be helpful? When I think in that terms of that, that's all program. That's all the big book. Where can we be of service? How can I help the newcomer? How can I help the person that's acting like a newcomer? As my sponsor often said, he says, you're acting like a newcomer. And, you know, that's okay, though. It's okay to act like a newcomer sometimes because we want to have that fresh, daily revisiting. Not to revisit, you know, to be in the first step or whatever, but to have that fresh set of eyes. That I don't, because one of the biggest enemies is this ego of, I know everything. I know the steps. I learned them in AA. I don't need to do it, practice them in OA. That's not true. You know, I need to relearn, be a daily beginner, and start over again in terms of applying the principles and steps in my own life. But I had to love, I had to come to the fellowship and have other people love me in order to learn how to love myself. And eventually I did learn to love myself and to love others. So with that, I am grateful to be walking the spiritual journey with you all. Glad to be great, part of this global community and getting phone calls and texts and sharing with other people, whether I like it or not. So thank you. If you're struggling, if you're suffering, please keep coming back. Don't leave. We love you, and you'll love yourself eventually if you do this process. Thanks. I'll pass.
Thank you, Greg B. Patty D., please share with us.
Hi, this is Patty D., recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina. Can you hear me okay?
I can, thank you.
Okay. I just want to say great shares this morning. Wonderful, wonderful meeting. I just identify with the first person who shared, I forget her name, But when I was in the food as well, I was very reclusive. Before I started OA, I actually had a neighbor tell me that I was cocooning because I kind of just did my errands and stuff, but otherwise stuck to the house. And I really resented that. I have a chronic illness, and I blame that for not venturing out. But, you know, I took my comfort in the food. And when I first started with my sponsor, she told me I needed to call two fellows every day, and boy, was that hard. It was hard. I didn't want to talk on the phone. I didn't want to, you know, connect with people I didn't know. I didn't like talking on the phone with people I did know. And so, but because I had that requirement and because I was desperate to get well, I did it. And I have made these friends. I've made friends at my local meeting. I've made friends through my 10th step partners, people who genuinely care enough to speak the truth in love to me, which resonated with me when Catherine shared, because it takes that truth to help you see the truth about yourself. But they're right there next to you to help you move forward. It's not just they tell you the truth and move on. They're right next to you. And so that's so critical for the recovery. So if you're out there right now, you're suffering, you feel alone, you feel no one knows you or understands you, we do. So please, please come back, get a sponsor, say you're a newcomer, connect, and we'll reach out to you because we're a family. So thank you so much to everyone, to this meeting. Thank you for your service. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Patty D. Julie E.B., please share with us.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered, one day at a time. Just really happy for the reprieve and happy for the ability now to connect with others. Through the gifts of working these steps entirely abstinent. And I didn't know that I couldn't connect. And, you know, it's like, where am I to find these people, this fellowship, this substitute? That's what this paragraph ahead of it is talking about. Where am I going to find something that will fill my emptiness like the food does? And here's the answer. You are going to meet these new friends in your own community. They're right in front of you. But for me, I couldn't see that they're right in front of me because I never felt like I was enough. Because instead of getting down to the causes and conditions, I thought I was the flaw in every situation. Not that I had flaws and that I needed to make changes. So now I look at it so differently. I'm not a defect. I have defects. And God is removing those as I become willing. God is continuing to help me in 10, 11, and 12. But first, I had to put down the food and the shame that I piled on my head every time I got into the food. And then I had to find a connection, and it took working through the steps. It didn't come automatically or instantly. But I came to understand that there was a God of care and protection right before the steps. It says we ask God's care and protection with complete abandon, that God would give me care, provision of everything necessary for my health, welfare, maintenance, my condition, protection, prevention of injury and harm. And I looked up the synonyms, and God, a higher power, was going to be my armor, my buffer, my shield. So I didn't have to have that with other people anymore. So I could find them in my own community. I can find people to reach out with at my local OA meeting. Near you, alcoholics are dying helplessly. I spoke to someone the other day in the ICU, and I said, "What brought you here?" And that person shared that, they had been trying to put down food. They were sober from alcohol for 18 months, and they took up pizza. And I said, I know what that's like. And I said, I used to be about twice the weight I am now. And they said, no. And I was able to share this phone number and this meeting with them. They are all around us dying helplessly as we look at people, no matter what they might look like on the outside, high or low, rich or poor. These are future fellows. We have a connection with everyone. So I connected first with my higher power, who told me I was enough. Then I could connect with myself and who I really am, armed with my defects, and knowing and praying that God would be, make me useful. And then able to build a community, first with fellows, then with people that I knew less well. I built new relationships, and finally with my family, where program really gets put to work with changing old relationships and finding fellowship there. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Okay, thank you to everyone who has shared and who was listening today. It's now time to close this meeting. I hope you will stay around, those of you who are new and those of you who are available to sponsor, because Melanie C. will be inviting you to share your information. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Julie E.B., would you please read A Vision for You?
Yes. Is the other person not available?
I'm sorry. You're right. Libby. I'm sorry. Libby E.
Hi, Kathy.
I'm sorry.
I'm here.
The wrong
problem.
Name. Go ahead.
Libby E., recovered compulsive eater in New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.